Lord, we just bless you. And Lord, we thank you for your mercies, your grace, and your faithfulness. We ask for your forgiveness of every area where we have offended you. Wash us with the blood and purge us with your presence. Fill us with your spirit as we break every yoke of bondage through the anointing granted to us. Loose us and sever us from every emotional attachment, destroying every corruptible seed and fiery dart that's been imparted in us, loosening us from our past. And we ask that you establish in our present and prepare our future. Grant us eyes to see, Master, ears to hear, a heart to receive, and break every hardened heart, every rebellious heart. Loose us from the fears, anxieties, and stresses and worries of this world. In the name of Jesus, and bring healing to your people as I send your word that by the stripes of Jesus, each and every one that is here today be made whole, for the word will not return void in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, with so many things going on in the world right now, it's just so amazing that it's happening in front of our eyes, you know. You know, the signs are definitely here in the areas that God would show us signs in the heavens, and all kinds of things would be shown to us. There would be earthquakes and famines and pestilence, and we even see volcanoes that are, and there's a volcano that just recently erupted, and it actually hindered over 17,000 flights. And it erupted in Iceland, and it's been cruising, and it's like 35,000 feet or 30,000 feet in the air, and they can't fly. They don't know when they can. It is not moving the way it should be. Now, this is just one little volcano that just poofed. What about two or three of them that slam? Think about how that can cover the whole earth very quickly. And then they saw a miniature asteroid that cruised through and lit up all parts of the, in certain areas of the world where it was nighttime, and then all of a sudden it became daylight. And this asteroid cruised by and it landed somewhere in Montana or something like that, or some parts of it. And now, I mean, you know, I was just reading yesterday about where the administration is considering, well, they're going to stop the space shuttle flight, and we're no longer going to be involved in the bringing of the astronauts to the space station. Russia will be handling that. And now our country wants to be able to prepare an area. I mean, this is like Star Wars, you know, where we can shoot down asteroids because they fear that there are asteroids that are going to hit this Earth. In fact, they said there's 1,000 of them close, and there's about 7,000 of them that are further distance away. So they want to be able to set up a station somewhere out in space or whatever so that we are able to shoot rockets to destroy asteroids before it hits the Earth. Now, tell me this is not the signs of the times of what's going on here. Look at all the earthquakes. We've had more earthquakes in this short period of time and the strongest earthquakes than we have. This is the longest delay of flights that we've ever had in history in the airlines. Why are all these records being set now? Because we are in what would they call the beginning of sorrows. In fact, we're coming out of the beginning of sorrows. We're almost done with it, and we'll be hitting tribulation soon. And God is preparing his children. These are not only signs. Listen, it's unfortunate that much of the world doesn't get it. But we've been given the mysteries to know these truths. And the body of Christ has been given the mysteries and the understanding to see these things at hand. And we are alive at this time. And I truly believe that we will see the return of the Lord. I truly believe that I will not die until I see the throne room of God through a rapture. And we must hold on to these things and be prepared for what is coming. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 1? Hebrews chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the what? Prophets. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the worlds. Did you notice that it doesn't say world? It says worlds. Now, there's multiple meanings to this word worlds, but I want us to look in the area where it's the worlds of physical and the worlds of spiritual. Is everybody okay? In other words, there are two worlds, and each place and worlds in this area are a place of inhabitations, dwellings, kingdoms, military, and citizens. There is structure in both arenas. Let's go a little further. In verse 3, who being the what? Brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. These worlds, in other words, it's very powerful here because he explains that he spoke through the prophets and then he spoke through Jesus. See, God always intervenes through his image. I said his image. He intervenes through his image in the area of his children, in the area of his prophets, in the area of Jesus, who is his image and likeness. Amen? See, so these worlds are physical and spiritual. They are the seen and the unseen. We call them spiritual realm or physical realm, but in true reality, these are worlds. And I began to see these worlds, and I began to get grieved in my spirit because I saw these two worlds, and I saw people hanging between them. And there are those who are hanging between two worlds. And it grieved my spirit to see that, because one of these worlds was going to disappear. And in Hebrews 11, in verse 1. Now faith is the what? The substance things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the what? Elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the what? Worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So we see here faith is the ability to make what is unseen to become what? Seen. All were gifted with a measure of faith, but not all use it. All were gifted with a measure of faith, but not all increase it. As on the physical world, there are also positions and inhabitants. Again, there are authorities, military, citizens, and kingdoms. So also in the spiritual realm, or what we call the spiritual world. In John 13, there are those who are hanging between two worlds. In John 13 and verse 27. Let's read it. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said it to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Having received a piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Who said this? Peter. Is he the one that denied him three times? Yeah. And Jesus answered him, you will lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me. How many times? Three times. How many times? Three times. So we know that in this, Peter was hanging between two worlds, wasn't he? So everybody got it. Even though he wanted to do the right thing, he didn't. Even though he denied Jesus, but thank God, through the blood, he turned around and repented, didn't he? Is everybody okay? Now, in this is very important, because we know that the ruler of this world is who? Satan. Amen. Who is he? Satan. And anyone believing in Jesus will follow him, won't they? Has everybody got it? But even Peter followed him, but then yet, what did he do? He denied him. And Jesus says, if anyone denies me, I will deny him. So in this, we got to understand that there is that area where there are many people who are saying, I believe, but they're really not following. And following is associated with believing, isn't he? So Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy and expose the ruler of the world and to bring judgment upon him and cast him out of position, didn't he? Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further. Let's go to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. Hanging between two worlds. In verse 1, I say that the what? Heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the what? Elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Again, God does intervention through his image. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out what? Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Knowing this, we've got to understand that we were slaves to darkness. We are slaves to darkness. And by being a slave to darkness, what happened is Jesus came himself. God himself came, expressed himself through his image and likeness, an intervention to pay the price so you and I could be severed from slavery and walk in freedom. But there is that fine line where many people are hanging between two worlds. There's a difference. You know, you may have good intentions and you might want to do the right thing, but doing the right thing is different. You will not be saved by good intentions. Hello? There's a lot of people out there with great intentions. Well, I'd love to do this, and I got great intentions. But those will not rescue, and they will not move the hand of God. But those who are still under the bondage of this world, the elements of this world, who are putting their trust in this world, are hanging between two worlds, claiming to be a believer, but yet trusting in the world and not in God. In John 16, in verse 31. How many of you know somebody hanging between two worlds? everybody does. Can you imagine if you share with them, listen, man, you're hanging between two worlds? You may have to duck. But you might want to take that chance. Better be concerned about ducking than, you know, be more concerned about their soul. Look, man, you're hanging between two worlds. What is that going to do? It's going to give them an image. The same image that I had that grieved my spirit. When I realize that so many people are hanging between two worlds. In John 16 and verse 31, Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. Be of good courage, be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome." In other words, he overcame this realm, didn't he? He overcame the world. He disarmed the ruler of this world, who was Satan. That those who follow him will be under the authority and have authority. See, if you're not under authority, you have none. And whatever authority you're under is either against you or with you. Are you listening? Jesus overcame the elements of the world, and only, and I say only again, those under him, only those under him and under his spirit or led by his spirit will overcome this world, and they will enter the eternal world. But so many are hanging between two worlds. Go to Matthew 7. This message is for the world. Matthew 7. "Yes, but I've been saved 30 years. Wow, why are you still going to nightclubs? Why are you still living in fornication? It's amazing how many people say that they're believers but don't even read the word. So they don't know what the promises are. That's all they understand is God loves them but don't know his judgment. They don't fellowship. They don't abide in his presence. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, would you read it with me? This is very important. This is the word of truth. And he says what? "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Now get this, because this is so important. There are many. See, the word Lord means there are those... To some people, Jesus is just Savior, but not Lord. Lord means he is Lord over your life. He has control over your life now. He has control over your destiny. See, so many people come as just, well, he's my Savior and Lord, but he's really not their Lord. They're only using him so that they don't have to go to hell, because they know the way they're living, and they think that just because they accepted Jesus as Savior, they're going home. Sorry. It says right here, only those who do the will of God will go home. That's it. Let's go a little further. In verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day," what day? What day is that? Day of judgment, when they stand before him. "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness." Wow. So they were even now casting out devils. They were doing the works of God. Listen, God will use a donkey. But that donkey doesn't have to come before him for judgment. Me and you do. See, the gifts are without reproach. Are you listening? What God gives, he doesn't take back. So in this, there are many people who started off right, but have gone astray. And now they're using God for their purpose and not for the glory of God. Has everybody got this? This is so important because we're seeing it happen now. That's why you're seeing more and more things being exposed in ministries, because judgment is in the house of God first. And if God first is judging the house of God, hello. There are people who are trying to use God, and God's allowing them sometimes because his purpose is to rescue more souls. But everybody must stand before God that day and be judged. Only those who do the will of God will enter in. Only those. In Galatians 6, would you think that they would be hanging between two worlds then? Thinking that everything's okay. But yet they're exploiting. They're harboring. They're stealing. They're manipulating. And they're using people for their own gain. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11. Would you read it with me? See with that what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Now, why do you think he expressed large letters? Hello. I don't think they had reading glasses then. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to become circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a what? But a new creation. So in this, Paul states something very powerful, because he's talking about the religiosity of traditions of men. That they're trying to boast in what they do and what they wear. Are you listening? And what they eat. And all of these other things to try to exploit themselves in the area of, I'm religious. Well, they're definitely exposing themselves how religious they are, aren't they? But see, they don't know the truth in the area and the arena of being led by the Spirit. Because there's a difference between being religion and being free. And in this, Paul states something. He says, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So Paul looked at the world that is coming under the judgment of God is crucified to him. We must make this world crucified to us. And the only way that this world can be crucified to you is to be led by the Spirit of God. That is it. That's it. If the world is not crucified to you, you will die with the world. And this is where people are hanging between two worlds. In Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3. In verse 14. Would you read it, please? And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Would that be somebody that's hanging between two worlds? Yes. Because you say I am rich, and have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Now wait a minute. To see spiritually is what? Faith. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And to him who overcomes what? The world. I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So you certainly don't want to be caught in a lukewarm state, do you? In Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse 5. Would you read it with me, please? But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and, gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." So to them, they were turning this world upside down. That's what you're to do. You're to turn the world upside down. See, either the world's turning you upside down, or you're turning the world upside down. One or the other. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. The signs are certainly here. In verse 1. Would you read it with me? "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and what? Sins. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, what is grace again? It is the plan. It is the plan of God, isn't it? It is the plan of escape from the deception of darkness and from the wrath of God. That is grace. Grace doesn't say, "Go ahead, serve the devil all you want. You can go home." No. Grace is the plan of God. So that's what we call the will of God. Didn't we just read what Jesus said? Only those who do the will of God will go home. That's called grace. Has everybody got it? Mercy was when God, when you cried out, "Lord, consider me." That's called mercy. When he considered you, that was mercy. Then what does he do? He releases grace to you. Why? He puts you in a place to learn. Grace is learned. It is the plan of God to escape the wrath of God, the deception of the enemy, so that you can overcome this world. Because if you cannot overcome this world, you are stuck in this world. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go a little further. Verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." For what? Wait a minute. We're created in Christ Jesus for what? good works. In other words, we're to express the things of God by doing his will, aren't we? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, that you should obey them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his own flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Now, this is powerful because, again, there are people who say they believe but never repent. They go to bed every single night and never repent for any sins, thinking they've not sinned. Thinking that they've not sinned. Yet we sin in our thoughts. We sin in our words. We sin in things we touch. We sin. We're all sinners. But see, by repenting, you are washing those sins away with the blood of Christ. So there are so many in the world that are not repenting, even though they call themselves believers. That causes them to hang between two worlds. They do not repent to activate the blood or remove the sin. They do not read the Bible and know the promises and the covenant. They don't know the convictions. They might go to church, but are not accountable in fellowship. They may tithe, but their only concern is in the future of themselves. Has everybody got it? Their only concern is in the future of themselves. It's the what about me? What about me? They trust more in the world and in themselves than God. They hang between the two worlds, and the cord will be cut soon, either when you die or when you are left for judgment on the earth. Whatever you hold on to, whatever world you hold on to, the more you hold on to what world, that world is holding on to you. The day you die is where you'll go. Does everybody understand? So who you serve when you die is where you go, isn't it? In 1 John chapter 4. It's no longer a game. Grace is about to run out. We are coming to the end of the age of grace. This is no longer a joke. It's no longer playing. We are coming to the end of the age of grace. It is around the corner. It is closer than you realize. And we must warn individuals who are hanging between two worlds. In chapter 4 and verse 1. Would you read it? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits where they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already where? In the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world and the world hears them. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How many people have you talked to who don't want to hear you? In fact, they'll stand before you and go, yeah. But you know they're not hearing anything. You know why? Because they're not of God. And they hang between two worlds. And soon that cord is going to be broke. And whatever world they're holding on to is where they'll end up in. Is everybody okay? In verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we are abiding in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Now, in other words, you're not telling people because you're judging them. Do you understand that? You're judging their fruit, so you know where they're at. But of course, the enemy always uses the excuse of, you're judging me. Well, you're right, I am. I'm judging your fruit. And you're hanging between two worlds. And the reason why I'm telling you is because I love you. Now, they may be upset. Oh, you're just this and you're just that. It doesn't matter. You've done your power. Amen. Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You know, many people are going through your mind right now. So what's happening today is you're being armed. You're being armed with a simple phrase. You're hanging between two worlds. Amen. And soon the cord will be cut. In Hebrews 10, verse 35. Therefore what? Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of what? Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the what? Promise. So first you got to do the will of God, don't you? For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So we're going to need endurance. We're going to need endurance. The enemy's going to try to bribe you, sway you, and deceive you to be attached to his world. In Romans 13. Because those who endure to the end will be what? Saved. Romans 13. Is everybody there in verse 10? You know, I was watching this on the History Channel the other day, where they were going back in history and where they had found this skull and truly believed that this was a proven fact of that man came from an ape. Evolution, you know. Well, after years, then they retested and found out that somebody had put the teeth were from a different animal, and somebody had put this together and put it in there. So the theory was that we came from an animal. I mean, I love bananas, but I don't. Well, I may, you know what I mean. But I mean, that's not my grandfather or grandmother, you know. So in this, so many things are being proven now and expressed. I can't tell you how many believers I speak to, supposedly believers, that believe in evolution. And of course, I share with them, well, I wouldn't tell my children, you know, your grandmother's a monkey, you know, or whatever. Or you came from the ape family or whatever. But like I said, there's so many things being exposed right now in all areas. Now, people are choosing just not to believe, but to hold on to their traditions. And there's an area where you've got to come to break tradition. Because by breaking tradition, you become free. Did I say Romans 13? In verse 10. Let's read it. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to what? Awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in a day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We will close at 1 Peter 4. You know, there's a lot of people that say, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. What he's trying to do now is expose it. See, you can't live on the excuse that God knows my heart. Because he does know your heart. And all of our hearts are wicked. Hello? So we must take dominion over the wickedness of the heart. And let the heart of Christ express himself. Why? Because when he expresses himself, his image is expressed and he moves through his image, doesn't he? He does divine intervention through his image. Has everybody got it? Every one of us in this room was approached by somebody to get saved. In this room. It's a mighty big, it's a mighty big room. Well, we're the room without walls. Praise God. But every one of us somehow, somewhere, at some time, was approached and introduced to Jesus. Somehow, somewhere. There isn't one person in here who God just showed up and said, come on, you need to get saved. Now, he might have showed up after you accepted him, but you didn't know about it until it was spoken to you. You heard it on a radio, TV, or somebody approached you on it. And 1 Peter chapter 4, is everybody there? In verse 16. Would you read it? Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Now, Christian means in his image. In his what? In his image. That's a Christian. Believe me, there are many people who tell me they're Christians, and I'm like, no, you're not. In fact, don't tell anybody you are. Please don't tell anybody you're a Christian. That's what I want to tell some people. Man, stay home, man. Go in your closet till you die. Then come out and tell somebody you're a Christian. Oh, verse 15. I want to back up. But let none of you suffer as a what? Murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. In other words, that ain't a Christian. Hallelujah. Verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to what? Begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Now you got to ask yourself today, where are you hanging? Are you hanging between two worlds? Are you hanging with Christ? One or the other? Have you severed yourself from the world? Or are you still attached to two worlds? Are you hanging between two worlds? Are you hanging with Christ? one or the other. Make your decision today and don't reattach yourself to the world. That's all you need to do is repent and sever and rededicate your life. And to God be the glory. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Let the seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.